Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. And so grateful just to gather together and to worship our great God. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. And one of the greatest joys and just blessings of my life is to get to be a dad to my kids. And you know, I just want to remind you, if you're a dad in the room, there's one of those, it's one of those roles that's unique to you. You know, there's a lot of people that can be a lot of things, but there's only one person that can be a dad to your kids, a husband to your wife, some of those things that God has uniquely placed you in. And I hope today, as we just walk through this text, I pray that God in His Holy Spirit would work in our lives and remind us of who we are in those places, and that it might encourage men and dads to step up in those areas that God has called us. But I just believe today is going to be a message that that will remind us all of the battle that we are in, of God's call for us to take our place. That's really the title of this message, Take Your Place. It's this thought of us taking our place in the battle that God is calling us just to walk in and to engage in, because we have an enemy. And that enemy is at war and raging. And so before we really jump into that, it's Father's Day, so we need a couple of dad jokes. Had some help on the way back from the trip yesterday. Somebody said they were glad I'm back, and Laurie J said, well, half back. And she said, really, the other half is front. And so I thought I'd just throw out that one to start with. It's okay. You know, somebody said that some of the dad jokes aren't that great. And I was like, yeah, they're dad jokes. That's what they're supposed to be. It's okay. You know, I had a couple of ones from the trip back last night. You know, Moses struggled a lot with technology. I don't know if you knew that or not. But every time he downloaded something, it came on tablets. And yeah. and Moses was a little disappointed because the tablets were really heavy and didn't even come with a charger. I don't know. It's a little there. One of my buddies, Jeremiah Jennings, every Sunday pretty much, he gives me a new joke. And so I reached out to him last night. I was like, man, you got anything, you know, for me? I had a couple of original ones. So if you're a little guy in the room, maybe for our children in the room, he had one specifically for you, right? And the question was, why did Pharaoh drop his action figures? Yeah, because he was told to let his people go. Okay, so there you go. I did hear about a golfer, right? And the golfer brought two pair of pants. Anybody know why? Yeah, in case he got a hole in one. That's obvious. Like, there you go. Craig for the win over there. I heard something else last night on the trip. I think maybe it was either Kinsley or Elijah maybe give me this one. But we were on the trip back, and I was reminded that before Boaz was married, he was a really bad dude. Anybody know why? He was ruthless. He really was. He was ruthless. So that's good. Oh, all right. So, hey, why do frogs wear, what kind of frog? I don't even know. I don't even know. Yeah, that was a good one. It was great. Let's just stop there. It couldn't be any better. So we're warmed up, right? It was a great week in Honduras. We had a great time there. What a blessed week it was just being with our team. You'll see a picture maybe on the screen of just our team when we were gathered at one of the ministry sites that we served at. This was at Yolani's Hope, one of the few times that we really thought, hey, let's get a group picture together. But I was so encouraged by all of our team, by just the unity and work that God did in and through us, by the encouragement that the team was to one another and to the people in Honduras, and just really just a great week. So proud of our students and the way that they shared the gospel, the way that they shared their story, the way that they stepped up in those places and really out of their comfort zone. As Chris said, I just believe God will continue to encourage us through these young people, through this team, and through just the work that He's doing. Super grateful for the team that's here while we're gone. I was really encouraged by Tom and just the great job he did, just walking us through just really a key text in Israel's journey when God's people, fresh from the miracle of the Red Sea, they got hungry, they got thirsty, they were hurting, and they found themselves grumbling and complaining in the midst of those things. And He really challenged us last week just to start from a place of trust, just to say, you know what, God is faithful. So when we see things, we're going to start from that place. We're going to start from a place of trust. And as we walk in Exodus today, we're going to be in Exodus 17. We're just continue right where he left off. We're going to be in verses 8 through 16. Really with just this call to take your place. And really, I hope the text will just encourage us to do that today. As we turn there, we're going to see that the wilderness is not only a place where God was providing for them, where God was meeting their needs, where they were learning to trust him and to begin with trust. But we're going to learn also that the wilderness is a place of battle. And this is true for our lives. There's an enemy that is raging. And what we're going to see in this text is that the Israelites were attacked when they least expected it. And they had to take their place in the battle. But ultimately, the victory was from God. And we're going to see that today. I want to invite you to stand with me in Exodus 17, verse 8 through 16 will be on the screen. At the end of that reading, we'll quote Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 together. And there's kind of this statement that I'll just make leading in. That because the enemy always attacks, right? There's always a battle. Because the enemy always attacks, we must step up in faith. We must step in for others. And we must lift our hearts to the Lord in dependent prayer. Beginning in verse 8, we see this. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did just as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. But when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." Altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. God, we thank you for just this reminder this morning, this picture that you give us in your word of this spiritual battle that we are in. Lord, of an enemy that God is ambushing and attacking. And Lord, we look around, we're reminded, God, as we read in Nehemiah, that they could look at the condition of their city and the walls had fallen. They just lied in ruin. There was destruction all around. And Lord, the call that he had, Lord, let's lock arms and rebuild. Lord, the enemy is attacking. But God, you've called us together, Lord, to step up, to step in, to engage and to take our place in the battle, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd encourage us to do that. Not in our strength, but yours, Lord. And we pray, God, that if anyone here, God, has never trusted you for salvation, God, that today would be the day of salvation, God, that they would be reminded of your great love for them, Lord, what you've accomplished in their place on the cross, and Lord, that they might rest their lives in you. God, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. And as we just ready to jump into to kind of the first point I want us to see in this text, right, the enemy is attacking, and so God's people are called to step up with courage, to step up with courage. And really just to take their place in the battle. In verse 8, we read about Amalek. The scripture says they came and fought against Israel. Now, we understand some things about this battle. We understand that this was a ruthless enemy. And we would see that Amalek was Esau's grandson. And so it represents the Amalekites. And they have this long standing enemies, right? They're always against Israel that we would see all up until the time of Saul. And what we would see in Deuteronomy chapter 25, it would lean in and let us see a little bit more about this text. And in Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, we read this, "Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear. This tells us something about the enemy. We see some things about the enemy, our adversary, the devil. The scripture says in 1 Peter 5:8 that our adversary, the devil, that he roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He says that this is the kind of enemy that they're battling here. He says he attacks among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and when you were weary, and he did not fear God. This enemy was vicious and ruthless, targeting the vulnerable. And isn't that like our enemy today? He comes when we're tired. He comes when we're vulnerable. And in this battle, right, this is the first of many battles that Israel would fight on the way to the promised land. This is one of many, right? And they'd been delivered from Egypt by the strong arm of their great God. They've been delivered. They've been delivered, and now they're going to have to walk in that deliverance, but they're going to have to fight some battles along the way. They're going to have to confront the enemy along the way. And this battle with Amalek, what we would read and what we would understand, I love Phil Ryken in his commentary. He reminds us about this, and what I would say is that this battle is not just a historical battle, but it is a picture of a spiritual reality that is in our lives. I like how Ryken puts it. He said, this battle is a biblical type, a historical event pointing to a higher spiritual reality. And so just like Israel, listen, we as followers of Jesus Christ have been delivered. We've been rescued from the Egypt of our sin. We've been rescued. And in this, right, we understand that our ultimate victory is won. Our ultimate victory is secure. Jesus disarmed. Colossians 2, Jesus disarmed the powers and the authorities, triumphing over them by the cross. But here's what I want you to see. Until you reach the promised land. That's what I said. When we see Exodus, we are reminded that God is faithful. And when he takes them across that Red Sea, when he delivers them out of Egypt, there's going to be a people praising him in the promised land one day. God is going to accomplish that. And on this journey, right, they're facing all kinds of things. And until we reach the promised land, we will face ambushes by the enemy. We will face attacks. Spurgeon said something I think is great. He said, we are not under sin's power any longer. Now we fight as free people, not as slaves. And so God's people are called to step up, right? God's people are called to find their place in the battle, right? This war that we wage in, Ephesians 6 would remind us that it's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we would see this reminder that Satan may not be using these physical spears that we might see. We may see all kinds of things that are a result of his work, but we would see temptation and division and distraction and discouragement. And Ryken would say in his commentary, and I love this, he says, the war is raging all around us, but more frightening is the war that rages inside of us. More frightening is the war that rages inside of us, because the enemy's goal is to tempt and to distract and to discourage and to disable. He desires that we would dishonor God, that we would rob God of his glory. And so the fight is not only around us, but there's a personal fight, and it's within us. And it's not just simply about surviving, but staying faithful to the one who has already won the battle, the one who in his strength and in his power, we can war, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Verse 9, he says to Joshua, choose men. Moses says to Joshua, choose men for us and go out. This is the first time we see Joshua introduced, and he's this guy that Moses, when he hears there's a battle, he says, this is the one who is going to lead, right? And he calls Joshua and he says, go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And I love how Moses finds out about this battle, and what we don't sense in him is this tremendous panic. We don't sense those things because he's already understood God is faithful. And he starts from a place of trust. He says, we're going into battle and we're going to take our place in this battle, because he had seen the continued faithfulness of God. God had prepared him for this moment, and he's doing just exactly what God had prepared him for through all of those moments, through all these years that were leading up to this. He was preparing him to lead, and Joshua has been prepared to lead this battle on the ground. And so we see them take their place, right? And when the enemy attacks God's people, they don't check out. They step up. This is who we are. At Sparrow, one of the young ladies that we've met over the last few years, you'll see a picture of her on the screen with Riley and Hope, and just a precious young lady, and have so enjoyed just seeing her grow up over these last few years. And now she has been from Rancho, the community, the Bordeaux community that we are serving through Sparrow Missions, and she lives there in Rancho, and she's come to faith in Christ and been discipled and grown, and man, just a courageous. I mean, you look at her, and she's just so sweet and so, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but I want to tell you, she is a brave young lady. She's a warrior in the midst of this place, and she is engaging with children there. And one thing that some of our team had seen when they first saw her this time recently, she has some really severe burns on her arms and on her legs, and there was a place where someone in malice had thrown something into her home that set it on fire. And in the midst of that night, here's this young lady, and the enemy attacks, and she has to choose, what are you going to do in this moment? And she steps up, and she makes a way. She makes an exit and through this burning room, and in this exit, she's burned badly, making a way of safety for her family, making a way of safety for herself. And listen, in this moment, she steps up, and I was talking to her, and I said, you are so brave. And you know, later in the week, as we sat around a meal table, she took my phone and she was taking it, and we were doing this translation thing, and she began to type in it, and she began to share her story just bits at a time. And as I heard all of her story, my heart stirred even more. Because through her story, I understood why in the middle of that night, this young lady had to step up and face these burns and these things that were there. And what I heard about her story was many years before that. The man who had been called to protect and lead and take care of her, nurture her, and stand and step up. Listen, and this is who we're called to be in this place. The man that was called to step up had stepped out. And listen, when we look around our world, there's a tragedy all around where men who've been called to step up have stepped out. And there's no room in the midst of a battle for passivity. There's no room to sit on the sidelines and watch, or to step out and pursue our own pleasures. We must step up. In church, we are called not to check out, but to step up. We visited an orphanage called Yolani's Hope, and it's where that picture in the beginning came from. And you'll see little Kinsley here with this little precious baby. This is Santiago. Santiago's just a little over a month old. And it was a joy seeing some of our team holding Santiago. Because Santiago's story is pretty interesting. He was found just a month before, and there's videos on social media that went viral that actually videoed some of this moment where someone found him. And this baby, fresh from the womb, was found laying in a field abandoned. Jeremy and Jamie Stancil, who are from just south of us, they have a home in Commerce, worked at a camp in Rabun County. Such a neat connection to see them. They felt a call to Honduras to engage, because the enemy is attacking, the enemy is destroying. So many young people are being left, right? So many young people are growing up without families and without homes and at high risk, and they were called to step up, and they did. And Yolani's Hope took this little baby in when someone else had stepped out. They stepped up. When someone else had stepped out, they stepped up. And you know, something I thought that was pretty interesting, right? When we think about this picture, you know, I thought about these these ladies and her and her husband, this man and his wife that have been there serving in this orphanage and taking care of all these kids. And you know, I was thinking, you have to get weary on the journey. You know that as strong as they are and as much as they desire to serve the Lord, they have to get weary. But not only had people stepped up to engage there, there were teams and there were interns and there were people that had stepped in to give them support, right? And it's just this reminder of God's work through his people and how we're called to engage in just a really neat way, you know. And sometimes when we step up, the load gets heavy, right? Sometimes, and maybe some of you are feeling that, like you have answered a call to engage somewhere and make a difference, and you desire to do that so much, but the load has gotten heavy. And what we see in this text, right, even the strongest leaders grow weary. Moses stands on this hill, right, and his arms are raised in faith. And can you imagine the moments, like, you know, we read in this text, you know, about how when Moses had his arms lifted up that the Israelites were that Joshua and these men that were fighting, like they were advancing and they were winning. And so Moses, he lifts up this staff and he begins to see them experiencing victory. And I can imagine Moses in that moment, he's like, okay, God's in this thing. And he just kind of lowers that staff down. And all of a sudden when he lowers that staff, God wanted them to see that there was a direct connection, right? When Moses lowered that staff, the Amalekites were beginning to gain ground. And so Moses would lift his arms again. And in these moments, what we read is that as Moses is lifting his arms, that they just get so heavy that as much as Moses, can you imagine? Like, he does not want to let anything down. And sometimes we feel like that, like we're holding this thing. And Moses didn't want to let them down. Moses didn't want to not fulfill his place in this battle. But the reality is that he could not do it by himself, no matter how much he wanted to. No matter how hard he wanted to try, he could not do it alone. But listen, I thank God that he had an Aaron and an Hur. I thank God that in the midst, when his arms got weary, that these people, they didn't step back, but they stepped in. And they began to support him. And they began to encourage him. And so point number two, I want to encourage you. There's a battle raging, right? Step in with compassion and take your place beside the weary. Take your place beside the weary. When we see someone struggling, what we see so many times is people step back. People step back, we observe those kind of things. But we are people who step in and help carry the weight. That's what it looks like to be in a community. That's what it looks like. And do we have those people in our lives? People that are close enough to understand what's going on, to understand the things that are happening. We need to have those people. It's beautiful that we gather in rows and we gather in worship together. But God desires that we would be in community where we're known. Listen, to be in a small group, to be in a place where we can grow in community together, to be in D groups and relationships where people know the struggle. See, we come in and a lot of times there may be people in this room that are just barely hanging on and nobody knows it. Because somehow the enemy wants us to believe that we can do it in our own strength. Somehow our pride wants to say, I can handle this by myself, but I want you to understand that we cannot do it alone. And so maybe your next step is to get in community with other believers, to be in a place where you are known. Moses' hands get heavy, right? But they come in and they take their place. And his hands, and at the end of verse 12, it says, his hands are steady until the sun set. Take your place. Who's around you? Yeah, that's one of the challenges that we were challenged with on the mission trip at the end of the week, as we'd seen God working and just been just experiencing his grace and seeing him, just his activity all around us. And the challenge was where are you at? Where does God have you? Where do you dwell? Because the tragedy would be for a group of people to go on mission and put on our mission hat, because this is what happens, and it happens to me. It can happen to me, and it happens to you. We put on our mission hat. And when we go, there's unity, for one, because We're united in Christ together. This is who we are, Christians, believers, followers of Jesus. We've been given a common mission to go and to make disciples and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we put our mission hat and we go. And when the kids see us, Chris was talking about all those hugs. They're some of the best hugs you'll ever have in your entire life. And this love, it overcomes any language barrier. There's something just beautiful about that. These kids, they run and they love you and they hug on you and they look at us and we stand out, right? It's obvious that we're there, but they understand something because they're experiencing God's love through the people that he is sending. And what we see is that they understand why we're there and we understand why we're there. We are there to love. That's the whole purpose that we've gone. And we disconnect from the things that are around us and the distractions that are around us. And that day we wake up and we open our Bibles and we read in God's word and we pray. And we go out and we say, you know what? These places that we go, we're being sent to this rehab center or to this community or to this orphanage or whatever the places that involve us that day. And we understand we have a purpose there. And it is to love. And it is to share the love of Christ. And what would it look like if a people who woke up every morning, if everybody in this room woke up every morning this week and said, God, I know why you've placed me here, wherever I'm at, and I'm here to love, and I'm here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just like that young lady in the picture that suffered all those burns and all those things, she'd been rescued from the midst of the situation that she was in. She was rescued from sin and from brokenness and separation from God as she heard the good news of the gospel and placed her faith and trust in Jesus. And there were missionaries that stepped in where someone had stepped out and began to encourage her in the gospel. And she went, listen, from being rescued to being immediately part of the rescue team, of sharing the good news of the gospel and encouraging others in her community and stepping in the gap in places in children's lives all around her that she grew up in. And listen, if you are in Christ, you have been rescued, not to sit on the sidelines, not to be in those places and just be passive in the midst of the battle, but to step up and to step in and make a difference for the glory of God. This is who we've been called to be. Where are you at? Where are you dwelling? And the easy answer for all of us might be Franklin, North Carolina. But one young lady, as we were in our little group and we were talking about that, and we said, where do you dwell? And she said, I dwell in my basketball league. And the question is, who's around you? Where's God uniquely placed you in your community and the relationships that are around you? And who are the people that are around you that are hurting? Who are the people that are around you that might represent those people in Rancho, in that Bordeaux community? Where's our Rancho church? Where's the place in our community where people are forgotten by God? Or not by God, but people are forgotten by the world, but they are not forgotten by God. Where are people that are forgotten by society and looked down upon? Where are people that are in your life that need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because wherever you dwell, you are called to engage on mission. This is who we are, right? We don't shrink back. We step in. Who needs that? Your presence, your encouragement, your prayers. And point number three, I think we don't want to miss like this call to step up, to fight, to engage in the battle, to step in and help those who are weary and those who are maybe battling and have grown tired. But we want to lift up with confidence. And when we do that, we take our place before the throne. We take our place before the throne. And you know, something I'm always convicted of as we think about, you know, I was hearing from Justin, the founder of Sparrow, who now is in Thailand, and he has opportunities to train some pastors from a place that's closed to the gospel. And he was talking about the hunger that they have for the word and just the desire that they have to learn and the dependence that they have on God. And something I'm always convicted about when I hear of those things is this reality that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have a great high priest, right? And we've been given access to the very throne of heaven, that we have an intercessor, Jesus, who is always making intercession for us, that is praying on our behalf, that is, we have access to the throne, but we take it for granted. We somehow think we can do it in our own strength. Verse 13, Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So we see this picture. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and he named it, The Lord is my banner. Now, it's interesting, this term banner in ancient times, this banner, this standard, it was what the soldiers would look to in the battle, this rallying point, this sign they would see, and it would remind them that they would stand firm. It reminded them of those things. And, you know, I had the blessing on the last day. We were just in the kitchen, and Aaron Roush was in the kitchen with me, and I just was talking to him as I'd been marinating on this verse. And Aaron's a longtime Marine and served in so many places. And I said, when you think about this banner, I said, what do you think of? What does it mean in that moment? And as he began to talk about that, there was a piece of it that just really gripped my heart. And he said, it's not simply just this rallying point. He said, we look to that flag, we look to that banner, we look to that place, and it reminds us of who we are. He said, see, it all begins with identity. He said, as a Marine, he said, we learned from the very beginning that this is who we are. We don't shrink back. We fight when the bullets come, when the thing's there. And he began to talk about all these things that happened as a result of who they are. Man, I was reminded that all these things, to step up and to step in and to engage in this battle, this spiritual battle that we are in, to engage and to pursue just the kingdom of God and to desire to see that growth and to be on mission for the glory of God. This is what we do because of who we are. See, this banner reminds us, it takes us back to who we are. And the banner that Israel looked to was not held by Joshua on the battlefield, but Moses upon the hill. And what we see in this text is the banner is God himself. That Jesus Christ is this banner, this rallying point, our standard, right? This sign of victory and the cross. And when we look to Jesus, it reminds us of who we are. But it also reminds us of what he's done to make us who we are. And when we recognize what Christ has done to make us who we are, children of God, and because of who we are, this is what we do, not in our strength, but because of who he is in us. And listen, we step up. We step in. We don't do it in our strength, but we do it as Jesus lives his life in and through us. Because that's what Jesus does. It's what he's done for us. And in our brokenness, he stepped into the midst of our brokenness. And he lived the life that we couldn't live. Died the death that we deserved. And he did it in our place. See, the battle in this text, it was won not just with swords, but in surrender. Independence to the Lord. Moses raises this staff. I think it's just this beautiful picture, the symbol of prayer in the presence of God. And in verse 16, the translations really don't do this justice in so many places. The ESV does a good job with it. But I just want to read you the original kind of Hebrew. It's what it would look like in Hebrew at the beginning of this verse. And literally it says this, a hand upon the throne of Yah. And it paints this incredible picture, this vivid picture of this spiritual warfare and this intercession. Moses isn't just holding a stick. He is reaching toward heaven. He is lifting his heart and his hands to the very throne of God. They were a demonstration, his hands lifted, a demonstration of his dependence, of prayer, of his desperation for God's power. And as one scholar said, it wasn't the staff that held power. It was the throne of God who gave victory. And listen, we must live dependent upon him. This is who we are, a people who step up, a people who step in, but a people who live our lives continually looking up in dependence on him, not ceasing in prayer, walking in his grace. I love the words from the song, Jesus Paid It All. I was reminded of those. I thought about this. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Boy, I'm reminded of that, just how in our own strength, how weak we are. Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness. Watch and pray and find in me thine all in all. Justin Ross, the founder of Sparrow Missions, you'll see a picture of Upper Rancho Chris was talking about earlier. And it was a place just a couple of years ago. had no access to. You couldn't walk in there. It would be very dangerous to go in there. You're not allowed in there because of gang presence and just the dynamics that were in that community. But the other part of Rancho that we've been serving in, it was the same way when they got there. Justin Ross felt a call to Honduras, a call to take his family and move there. And as they got there, they began to search and wonder, God, what do you want us? What are we doing? And they were exposed to this community that was forgotten by the world, but was not forgotten by God. And all that we have been part of, hundreds of kids that are in school being transformed and God doing just incredible work. It began with this community and his wife and a small ladies' Bible study that began. And as he talked about, he said, we know that wherever we are called to make disciples, to engage and to share his good news. And they began in that small place. And God has birthed and seen multiple churches planted, another church that will be planted hopefully in this coming year in upper Bordeaux, the community there. And Justin made this statement. He said, make disciples. And he said, God will build his church. The early youth groups that were there, he said, it was Christian Lopez, one of the guys that served there now, and he was a translator that came to Christ, and now is the person that's really running that entire ministry because Justin has moved to Thailand. But he began to talk about, they began to gather with students in that community, and he said they would gather, and when those youth would come together, he said every year, he said they would have maybe four or five funerals where these youth were being killed in gang violence. God has been doing an incredible work. The battle's raging, opposition that they faced. But as they stepped up, you see other people in that community, other teams like ours. You know, we stood in an airport yesterday, and one thing that was just a beautiful thing as we looked around that airport, it was filled with people like us that had traveled and hopped on a plane in Atlanta and gone to Honduras on mission to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to step in and support and encourage, there to love, there to make a difference, there to engage. And as those things have happened, God has used his people in his strength to see transformation and lives change for the glory of his name. And here's what I believe, that God desires to see that in every one of us, where we dwell, where we live, for us in our community and as a church and as a people, to be a people who don't step back, but step up, who sees the weary leaders that are hurting and step in, and who continually look up for his glory and his grace. I want to pray for us, and we're going to worship together. If you bow your heads with me, and the band's going to come. But God, I'm so grateful that, God, just to see how you've used the people you've called and sent, Lord, that, God, in their obedience, you've used them, God, to step into a place and in a people's lives who, God, without you had no hope. And Lord, every day I pray, God, that your people, God, that we would remember who we are. Lord, remember what we do because of that. Lord, as you live through us, as you send us, Lord, as we go, Lord, help us to be a people that don't check out, Lord, but a people who will step up. Lord, people that won't sit back when people are hurting, but will step in. And Lord, we look at our world around us and even our community in times. Lord, we see the brokenness. But God, help us not give in, because you are able, Lord. Help us, God, help us to start from trust, Lord. God, we lift our hearts to you in prayer. God, I pray that those who've been rescued, God, that we would see there's no room for us to sit on the sidelines, that we've been called into the battle. Lord, there's different places, but Lord, I pray you'd help us to take our place. God, there's many around us that are hurting, waiting for somebody to step up. God, the battle's real. The enemy, our adversary, the devil, always attacking. But God, help us take our place in the battle, come beside the weary, but ultimately, Lord, before your throne, God, that we might have the power that accompanies your presence with us, God. Lord, we confess that apart from you, we can do nothing. But God, we pray, Lord, that you would use us, that you would use this church, that you would use the people that hear this message, the people under the sound of my voice, those that have come back from mission. God, use us where we dwell. God, I pray you'd help us, God, even these moments, just to see where that is. Lord, that you might help every person in this room, God, just see who you've placed them around. God, who's in their life. God, who needs encouragement. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit might reveal those things to us. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never trusted you for salvation, God, we pray today they would surrender their life to you. God, they would recognize that, God, they are no match for their enemy, Lord, that Satan would love nothing more than to destroy him. God, but that you came to give life. Lord, joy that we saw in people that had nothing. Joy that comes from you. Lord, you've come to give us life. So God, I pray you'd do that today. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, for your blood. Lord, we come under the banner of the cross. We lift our hearts to you. And we pray you'd help us remember who we are and live like it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me as we respond in worship? If we can pray for you, come this morning. Maybe there's something you need to surrender.